Oh Lord, these boys are handsome.
This is the Dynasty Football Life Podcast.
Welcome to Dynasty.
Okay, all right. Ready. You guys ready? You guys ready? You guys prepared?
I was ready yesterday.
Well, we could have recorded yesterday. I didn't know.
No, it was about 11 o'clock at night.
That's okay.
Probably not ideal time.
Not bad for it.
We're not going to get the most energy.
No, not at all.
Wait, Ty changed his background? Or wait, I got the three people.
Yeah, thing. It's happening to me too. I don't know what's going on with Skype, but.
I'm like this little tidy guy.
Yeah, for me, we're all just sitting funny. In like an airplane or something.
Oh, I had changed that for a second. I thought it was funny.
Okay. It is kind of funny. I like it. Should keep it. Won't distract me.
I will.
All right. I'm going to get the ball rolling here, guys.
Yeah, I'll do it.
It's a Dynasty Football Life for us, the show that helps take a solid fantasy participant and drags them down to a level of mediocrity that we call home. I'm your host, Dave, and joining me as always is Jason and Tyler. How the heck are you, handsome fellas, today?
I'm mediocre.
Oh, doing good. Doing good.
Mediocre at best.
Okay, let's just get right into the show. Enough with the pleasantries. We have a lot of information to go over. The season is about to start this week. I think we have the Lions, Chiefs getting things going on Thursday. Let's talk about some guys that are on the potentially unwanted program. That's Jonathan Taylor, Kyler Murray. They're starting on the PUP. And I want to start with Jonathan Taylor. I have a share of him, so I guess I'll have to look into my bench. That means they're, correct me if I'm wrong, it means they're going to miss at least four games this year. Is that correct?
That's right.
Or so at the beginning of the season, I should say. Wonderful. That's great. Now, let's give me some thoughts on the Colts running back room. Is there any limited time only value for guys like A, Zach Moss, B, Deion Jackson, or C, Evon Hull? Start with whoever you want. And I want to start with Ty. Go first.
Yeah. Okay. I'd be happy to talk about Moss, Jackson, and Hall. No, not really. Not much value. Don't really want any of them, to be fair. Zach Moss, if he's healthy for week one, week two, he's likely to get the most work, likely to kind of be their go-to guy for the meantime. But we've seen Zach Moss in Buffalo. We kind of know what he offers. I'm not that interested. Jackson, yeah. Evon Hull, I have a slight amount of interest in Dynasty just because you can add him for so cheap and he's a good pass catcher, so there might be a role there for him. Probably never as a, you know, starting fantasy option, but it's within his kind of range of outcomes that he becomes, you know, someone that you can pop into your lineup from time to time, maybe use as a bye week fill-in or injury fill-in at some point. So him for cheap, but otherwise, pretty underwhelming group. Don't really care much about them. I think the only good runner on the team is going to be Anthony Richardson until Taylor comes back.
Zach Moss was good for a hot minute in Buffalo. I remember I had him and I had to start him for a couple weeks, and I might have just got lucky at the time. He might have just found the end zone those 2 weeks, but then, not much since he's gone to Indy.
As a Bills fan, Jay, Dave, I don't even really remember that, so good for you.
Yeah. Singletary was better than him, and that says something to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Jay, I know you're a huge, huge Deion Jackson fan.
Love him. Can't get enough.
I think you drafted him. Is he a rookie?
Nope.
Or has he been around?
I'm completely in agreement with Ty on this one. Rushing quarterback, he's going to rush. Moss is, for last I read, Moss is likely out week one or potentially week two. So Deion would be the starter for now. Not interested in anyone in this committee. And if you have to rely on one of these guys to win you week one and you own Jonathan Taylor, sell Jonathan Taylor. Your team fucking sucks. You got to have better guys than these guys. So I'm out.
What about this Kareem Hunt? Do you think he might sign there? Is there a possibility?
Sure. Why not?
It makes the most sense for him. I could see it happening, but Hunt wasn't really that effective last year. I can't imagine he really would be an indie either. So if you already have him on your dynasty roster, him signing there, sure, that's better than the current situation. But anybody in redraft that's really holding out a lot of hope for Hunt, I don't know. I don't really see it.
Well, he hasn't signed yet. He hasn't signed anywhere yet. So when he does, this would be the best opportunity for him, and he would be the most talented back on that team.
Yeah, apparently he was mulling over several offers, which I don't know. There's a couple of teams that could really use a running back. He hasn't signed yet, so either those offers are never really materialized, or he wants too much money. I don't know. But they're
just waiting for pure desperation, maybe.
Yeah, it's possible. It's like my prom date strategy.
How old is? Do you know how old Kareem Hunt is now?
28, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
His age is of the high 20s. All right. Well, he's got another 6 months in him. All right. Kyler Murray.
Yeah, he's 28.
Kyler Murray is not 28.
Jay. No, I know.
Kareem Hunt is. Kyler Murray is out for at least 4 weeks, unfortunately, especially for a guy like me who accidentally drafted Marquise Brown in a redraft league. I meant to pick up Robinson of the Commanders, ran out of time, and next thing I know, I got Marquise Brown.
Dave, that's your fault, man. You set that timer for 30 seconds a pick.
I can't say no to Kishwar. I can't. He can say anything, and I'll just do
it. I was almost picking back to back. You know how hard it is to pick back to back when you're after Ty and Tam, who take all the players I like, and then I'm stuck scrambling for two players? That was tough.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I get you, buddy. Joshua Dobbs and rookie Clayton Tune are the QB options now. Do we even get the mildest of erections having these guys at QB? But I mean, more importantly, the impact of the other position players Let's go back to
the erection question.
start with the erection, Dave. You always do well with the erection.
I do quite well with erections, not my own, but others. Straight up, I'm a serviceman. How does this impact the other position players on the nose diving birds? Is what I'm saying, because the Cardinals are birds. And this team has nosedived. They're tanking. I took Ty's word of tank. He tells me to switch up the words. So he put tanking, and I changed it to nosediving.
I like how you write this and you still fuck it up.
Yeah, I know.
That's special.
I put tanking, and I thought you'd switch it out to be like worshipping or just something else military related. So nosediving works. I don't know.
Birds do that. So we have running back on this organization. We have James Conner, of course. We have Keontre Ingram. No relation to
Mark.
Thank you. We have, of course, the aforementioned Marquise Brown, who I'm super excited about, and Rondale Moore. And at tight end, we have the great Trey McBride and the ever-aging Zach Hurts, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later as well. Jason, what do you got on Tune? Who is this Tune guy? Never heard of him.
He's a rookie. And he's been taking first team reps, but they just traded for Dobbs. Dobbs will be the starter. I think we had a chance to see Tune before Murray returns, because I mean Arizona's going to want to find out what they have in this guy, and this is a great time to do it. But Dobbs is familiar with the offense. He was under the OC Petzing in Cleveland last year. Great job, QB. Great job, Petzing. QB strength of schedule though, 30th. It's pretty fucking tricky. So I think Dobbs, you know, he knows the playbooks. It's not going to be a huge leap here, but I feel like we're going to see Tune. I'm interested in seeing him. Good deep ball in college. Looked pretty rough in the preseason. Not horrible, but not great. Conner is the only guy I'm really interested in here. I think James Conner, particularly in redraft or if you're competing in dynasties, a really good value, and you could acquire him for very little, and he's going to have a huge role in this team if he stays healthy.
Okay, and Ty, do you have anything to add to that, or how do you feel like this Tune guy?
We'll see. With Tune, I don't know. We'll have to see if he gets into a game. It could be Dobbs for the 4 weeks, and then Murray comes back, or Murray could end up sitting out for a lot more of the season than we're anticipating. That is definitely within the realm of possibilities, especially if Arizona, you know, really really wants to complete the tank and, you know, potentially draft Williams first overall, which.
I foresee an 0-4. I'm feeling like there's an 0-4 upon this team, maybe 0-6, and they might win. I think my prediction's 3-14.
That's generous, potentially, but on Marquise Brown, unfortunately, if you did take him in redraft, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter and kind of different places online kind of talking him up and saying he's still a good value. He still produced last year. I don't know. He averaged about 10 targets a game last year. And there was no real competition for targets, and that's still the case. But without Kyler Murray last year, he still got the targets, but he just really didn't produce anything. He was averaging 76 yards a game with Kyler and only 43 without. So for 43 yards a game, limited touchdown potential, if that's the floor, you know, kind of on Marquise Brown, do you really want to start him? I don't know. I do think he is a talented receiver. He's definitely the most talented receiver on this team, but I don't know. Until we see what's going to happen with Dobbs or, you know, with our boy coming out of college here, I don't know.
Well, luckily, the good thing is I'm not starting Marquise Brown. I got A.J. Brown, Olavi, and Drake London. Well,
that's better. That's good. Starting. That's a good young group for...
All of the many listeners are relieved to hear that.
And also, listeners, I have Watson and Burks. So he's pretty far down.
Holy shit, that is a good dynasty roster there for your redraft team.
For redraft league.
I mean, it's pretty good for redraft too. But.
Yeah, it's your guys' fault. It's all you guys. I'm like, oh yeah, this is great information. Let's do a redraft league.
Dave's running the Costanza experiment where he watches a lot of Seinfeld, so he's doing the opposite of everything he should be doing.
Yeah, let's see. Hopefully I get the same success that George had and end up working for the New York Yankees. We have an injury report that's huge because I drafted A-Chain, and then a bunch of people dropped them, which I thought was odd. I looked at my fantasy app and it said, fantasy alert, 2,000 people dropped A-Chain. And this is while Jeff Wilson Jr. got injured. I'm like, am I bizarro world? Why would people be dropping this guy? I couldn't quite understand that. He's going to be starting the beginning of the season on the IR. Mike McDaniel, which if you don't know, is the coach of the organization of Miami.
That is true.
And he wouldn't be surprised to see him return at some point this season. So that's promising that he might show up eventually. But it's definitely going to be a minimum of four games, probably more. Of course, we got Mustard. He's the starter, clear cut. A-Chain's a little fella, isn't he?
Oh, he's a little spit of a thing.
Yeah, they're making comparisons to some player that used to be small too.
I made a Kevin Hart rock comparison last.
You did.
I liked that one. Yeah,
I think that's why I'm thinking of it. So I think it's clear that Mostert's the lead back. Does this help me with my A-Chain thing? Do you think he'll be like thrown into the role a little bit sooner, or have a more bigger, just a bigger role, really? Jason, Tyler.
Oh man. Come on,
be honest.
I was waiting for either Mostert or Wilson to get injured because either one of them is always injured. A-Chain's not fully healthy either, though. I had a preseason injury.
Oh, yeah. There is that key.
Yeah, so that might be why you saw the drops on Yahoo. It's a lot. Yahoo's, you know, more of a redraft platform, so that could be why people aren't going to hold out for him. It's kind of good news if you own Mostert or A-Chain or... I mean, Salvin Ahmed, depending if he's going to be healthy or not. Because that, you know, Jeff Wilson and Mostert have their roles, and they've always kind of had their roles in this team in any sort of Mike McDaniel's offense. It was always going to be a three-headed monster. Right now, it's a little, there's one less head. Salvin Ahmed, his head's hurt. And I mean, and guys, we can definitely trust the Dolphins with head injuries, right?
Oh, big time. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm asking for Tua's family.
I was going to say, is that a shot at Tua? Yeah.
You can't take one more shot, Dave.
Jay, if Tua could actually understand what you just said, he'd be very upset.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Poor guy's probably busy eating his dinner with a spoon right now.
Oh, definitely. I have a lot of Mostert shares. I've always have. I've never owned a Jeff Wilson for some reason. I'm like Team Mostert. It's like a, you know, the Montagues and Capulets or something. I don't know what it is, but I was pretty excited to see Jeff Wilson get injured because I thought it was going to be Raheem Mostert to start the season. So it's going to be a good running game regardless. A-Chain is very talented. Let's see who starts.
Yeah. I think it's very clear it's going to be Mostert. I don't think it's a wait and see. I think it's 100% he gets the ball.
No, I mean
first.
Ahmed or A-Chain. I'm interested to see what happens between those two, if either of them come out healthy. Because if so,
think about the number two.
If so, I mean, A-Chain and Mostert is a pretty fun running game to watch.
Yes. Now, Ty, you love Jeff Wilson Jr. You have a lot of shares of him. How do you feel?
Well, I have zero shares of Jeff Wilson, but I do love him.
Must be. Sorry about that. My notes.
Must be. But no, Jay pretty much nailed everything. I think for Mostert in redraft, I would definitely be looking to add him. He's going fairly late. He's going like RB like 40 or something like that still. And most leagues, casual leagues, home leagues, nobody's probably really catching up on the fact that he's, you know, one of the three-headed monsters is down. So you're probably getting him good value. And tonight is the busiest fantasy draft night of the season. So be a great night to pick him up. For A-Chain, Dynasty Outlook doesn't change much. We always knew there was going to be injuries. A-Chain's a small guy. He'll probably deal with injuries too. But it definitely helps to have Wilson out of the way for these two. If you own either one of them in fantasy, in dynasty, redraft, you're going to get more playable weeks most likely. So it helps.
What do you think about Ahmed, though? He had a pretty fucking good preseason.
Yeah.
142 yards on 16 carries, 6 passes, 43 yards and a touchdown. And then he suffered a neck and or head injury. Do you think Ahmed, if everyone's healthy, you think Ahmed has a place in this team? Do you think he's worth, you know, drafting, you know, or even picking up off waivers?
Yeah, you can pick him up on waivers.
In some leagues, yeah, that have already drafted. Yeah.
I think shallow leagues, dynasty leagues, or shallow dynasty leagues or redraft leagues, I'm not really interested. But in like a full dynasty where you got that, you know, 25 person bench, absolutely. If he's out there, add him.
Someone owns him in those.
Someone's probably already had him. Yes.
Yeah. Is he worth a pick even? Do you think if you own maybe Mostert or A-Chain, would you offer up a late pick for him?
Well, the old handcuff.
I probably wouldn't bother, to be honest, but it wouldn't be a bad move. But I wouldn't bother.
Ouch! Wow. Well. The good news is he is available in our redraft league, Jay. So we'll see who gets to him first, buddy.
It won't be me, Dave. I'm okay.
I'm
projected
now
to be the number one team in that league, and I'm playing you week one. And I've already heard about your wide receiver woes.
We'll see. Okay, let's move on to some people who don't have any financial woes anymore.
Great segue, Dave. Great segue.
that's TJ Hooker. Not kidding. It's TJ Hawkinson. He just made a big deal. I think it's a 4-year, $68.5 million contract, 17.125 million per season, 42.5 million Garen frickin' Teed makes him the highest tight end in NFL history. That's crazy. And now Darren Waller, 17 million per season with the New York Giants, was the previous bench park for that position. Now, Hawkinson is a top five dynasty tight end. I would hope so with that price tag, with him making that kind of money. I did draft him in our redraft league in the 5th round because I was drafting 10th and felt that it was my only opportunity to have a good tight end. But in terms of dynasty, which is why we're all here, is there someone that may be on the cusp of jumping up a tier? But before we talk about that, I do want to talk about Travis Kelce and being the fun age of 33, which I don't know if you guys remember that far back. And then I want to touch on new King of the Hill, Pitts. So what are you guys, any thoughts around Hawkinson first and then Kelce and Pitts? That's the agenda for the next few minutes.
Nope.
Not all at once. Nope. Not all at once. One at a time.
Thoughts on Hawkinson? I think, you know.
Yeah. You guys, I went through the agenda. Hawkinson. I can't hold your hand,
fair
guys.
Enough.
Can't hold your hand.
For Hawkinson, it's you know, definitely a decent bag for him. And it's understandable the price just kind of keeps going up for players. I don't think he's one of the, you know, overall best tight ends in the league, but after you get out of that kind of first tier of your kind of real top-end tight ends, which in dynasty, that's obviously Pitts, Andrews, Kelce, then really the next tier after that, it's pretty wide open, and Hawkinson could easily be up there for you. He's got less injury concerns than Kittle. You got Dallas Goedert in there, guys like Dalton Kincaid, who's a rookie, so you have to see what's going to happen there. So it's pretty wide open there. So definitely he's in that top four, top five for dynasty tight ends.
I think if you look at, I sent you guys a doc or a spreadsheet.
Looking at it right now, buddy.
And I went and I looked at the last 5 years of tight end production, and I looked at the differential to rank 10 in tight end. So you have Travis Kelce, who was the number one except for one outlying year of Mark Andrews, and even then he was 40 points behind him. So Travis Kelce, if you owned him in Dynasty,
he's good.
Like having two people. Like it's not even comparable. Like in 2022, he had 174 more points than Dalton Schultz, the 10th ranked tight end. In 2021, 137 over Hunter Henry. In 2020, 164. 2019, 110. 2018, 162. So there, when you look at it this way, or sorry, Mark Andrews would have been 2021. I misspoke, but he still had 99 points more than the 10th ranked at second place. So finding that, you know, will there be another Travis Kelce? Yeah, probably. Is it Kyle Pitts? Probably not, but it could be. It could also be someone drafted this year. It could be someone drafted next year. But having an elite tight end is like having an extra player every week. And I, a lot of times we talk about wide receivers and running backs, and like owning Kelce just won you leagues sometimes. So trying to figure out who's going to be that next guy. I mean, if you hit on that, you're laughing all the way to the $20 payout your league has.
I guess that's why I haven't won any leagues lately, because I don't think I've ever owned Kelce, maybe for one redraft league, and I probably won that year actually back in 2018, if you do recall, guys.
I don't recall, but I believe you. I believe you because it's easy to remember those.
Yeah, I'm generally pretty honest. Do you guys have any pit? Like, what do you think Kelce? Like, he's still the number one tight end in Dynasty. Am I right in saying that, or am I wrong?
You're technically wrong.
He's what, third?
He's the third ranked Dynasty
third
tight end.
Pitts and Andrews.
Based on age, Pitts and Andrews, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's now, age alone, yeah.
Yeah, that's only on
which
age.
Dynasty, I mean, that you know, not uncommon.
Yeah. Makes sense, because he's 30. He's 33. He's one major injury from his career potentially being over.
Yeah.
But so is everyone in some ways, right?
Yeah, we seem some tight ends are clearly have a longer shelf life than running backs, even by like 10 years sometimes. We've seen some tight ends get, am I saying even close to 40? It wasn't there. How old was Olsen when he retired? Finally.
35.
Now, Ty, let me throw this to you. We have some, say, tier three guys, you know, the likes of like Engram, Laporta, David Njoku, which I have no idea what to think of.
Darren Waller,
yep. And then some new guys that have found themselves in tier three. Greg Dulcich, I think, if I'm saying that right, and then the Tennessee tight.
That's the best. Yeah.
Tennessee tight end.
The best.
Yeah.
and the great Trey McBride, who's in a really strong organization right now in Arizona. But did you see any of those guys maybe jumping up at some point to a tier two and join the likes of guys like Kittle and Goddard? I can see Goddard going from tier two to tier three soon. I mean, I've had him in multiple leagues. I just feel like he's just worse every year, but, you know.
Yeah, for the tier three guys that could jump up, I mean, Darren Waller is probably not going to jump that high in Dynasty ranking because he's 30. But he's probably going to have a really good year this year. He's a great target for this year and next year, even if you're, you know, you have a team that's competing. For guys in this list that could jump up, Laporta is an obvious one, same as Michael Mayer. Yeah. Any of the rookies? I still think Greg Dulcich in Denver. It during the preseason, it looked like he was like the second option, but I think he's going to end up winning out. Okay. He's just such a better pass catcher.
Different coach too, though. That's the one downside.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Hackett's an elite offensive mind.
He can
just
hack
ask
it.
Sean Payton.
He can hack it. And David Njoku, yes. You did ask about. I like David Njoku quite a bit. I don't know if he jumps up a lot higher than tight end 9 over the next year. I think that's probably about the right place for him, but I think he's decent value there. Just because...
Yeah, he's been hurt too before, eh? I think he's had some injury.
I think it just issues. About everybody has, but he played pretty healthy. But,
football, good point. This isn't baseball,
but I
right?
do like the... what I like is the target share for tight ends. I think targets are really important. And it looks like he does have a pretty good path to targets this year with Kevin Stefanski... Now working that offense, Kevin Stefanski's tight end target rate over the last 4 years, it's been either 22.5%, 27.5%, 27 again, and then 24.6 last year. So that's a really healthy target rate for tight ends when the league average is closer to 19. And there's not a lot of other potential targets at tight end in Cleveland. So I think if we can see David Njoku take a decent amount of targets, last year he has 73% of the Cleveland tight end targets. If that holds up, you're looking at about 90 targets through the year. So 90 targets, a couple of touchdowns. Yeah, that's a good fantasy year.
I like to see him get up to 80%.
That'd be nice.
You know, actually, I don't care. I don't own him. What do I care? Jay, I want you to finish off this tight end conversation with the last guy I see in tier three, Do you think Cole Kmet? I know you love him.
I do.
Chicago.
I love him. Now, I was a big Cole Kmet fan on his draft year. Me and Nick used to argue about that constantly. And he made an appearance in our top 10 one year. Just one. But Justin Fields is going to have to throw the ball a little more if they expect him to have the season after season after season of healthy years. There's no way he can run the ball as much as he did last year. I would like Cole Kmet as a blocker. I like him as a receiving tight end. Could he be a tier two tight end? I don't think so. But could he jump a couple of these names? Absolutely. If there's one guy on here that I still really like, I mean, it's obviously Dalton Kincaid is in a good spot. But he mm-hmm. does have a good tight end ahead of him. And that
Knox is still there.
Knox is a good tight end. He's a decent red zone target, and he's a good blocker. So he's
reliable.
So if he plays more of a slot role, I could see him jumping up a little bit too. Outside of that, Musgrave in Green Bay, he's a tier four as far as Dynasty Pros ranking was concerned. I could see him making a quick jump. Yeah,
absolutely. Yes.
I do like Musgrave a lot. He's still only 23 as well. I was surprised looking at, Goddard's 28. I feel like I'm still kind of waiting for him to dominate. He's an excellent tight end.
Yeah, didn't realize he's still that young, actually.
I thought he was younger. I honestly thought he was younger. Oh. Yeah, Hawkinson's 2 years younger than him, and I kind of thought, in my mind, they were around the same age.
I thought he was like
30. And Mark Andrews is 28. I assume Mark Andrews was closer to 30 as well. So
it's just a number, guys. Age is just
so let's just put one final question. If Travis Kelce gets sucked up by the aliens tomorrow, who's your next potential Travis Kelce? Is it Kyle Pitts? Or is it somebody else?
It's Tyler Higbee, of course, of the LA Rams. Sure, he's 30 years old. But Ed, he was good for like a couple of weeks. Like, is this guy for real?
No.
Yeah, is the answer. I didn't realize he was 30 either. And I feel bad saying ill about a 30-year-old. But, I mean, we're in our 40s. Fuck it. So I liked Everett too. And he's in with the Chargers now. He's 29. But I'm looking way too low on the list to think of a guy looking to replace Kelce at the
moment. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Hawkinson because
the investment.
I redraft. Yeah, I have.
You investing that one pick in him, Dave, is definitely worth the definitely different than the hundreds of millions of dollars that he's going to get in his first career.
I don't think Kittle's. Kittle was the guy I think for the longest time talked about being the next Kelce. But I don't really think that's going to be consistent.
I think with Kittle, there's some injury issues. There's also, I think there's a bit of a target issue in San Francisco now since adding Christian McCaffrey to the team. So last year, when Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and Christian McCaffrey were all on the field and Brock Purdy was the quarterback, Kittle had a target share of 11.5%. That's not going to get it done. And even if you're scoring touchdowns, that's not nearly enough. And it looks like Brock Purdy's, I don't know if he's actually going to be the long-term answer there. It looks like he's got a shot to be. But if all those guys are in the lineup, I think Kittle's a tough guy right now. He's someone that in season-long leagues I'm definitely staying away from. So not someone that's really kind of up there for me. As far as Jay's question, I think Kyle Pitts is the only kind of obvious answer. He's the guy with the ability to do that after that.
Does he have the quarterback, though?
No, he does not. Desmond Ridder is probably not the quarterback there, so it might take another year or two. But I don't know. Kyle Pitts has actually been kind of frustrating, too, because even he had a...
Imagine he gets a touchdown,
He needs a touchdown, because even his 1,000-yard 1,000-yard rookie year, it's still
so disappointing.
Still sucked to own him in fantasy. It still sucked. Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe Dalton Kincaid. I say that as a Bills fan.
Maybe Sam Laporta.
Yeah, I like Laporta and Kincaid are that good. I think a lot of people are kind of like, but everyone's just kind of on the tight end class this year. Are they really going to be that different? But as prospects, like the prospect rating, a lot of analyst prospect models, they show them as being that much better than most prospects we've seen recently. So it is possible that it's just that special of a group.
Yeah, Michael Mayer is I think a little too low in my opinion. Like Evan Engram's above him. I would way rather Michael Mayer than Evan Engram any day of the week. And I would take Sam Laporta over Njoku. Maybe not Freiermuth or Waller, but I think those guys are maybe a touch low. I think there's going to be three guys out of this draft in particular that are going to be pretty good.
I think Musgrave, too. I'd take Musgrave over Michael Mayer.
Musgrave's low, too. I think Musgrave's low, too.
He's way too low.
Well, time will tell. I did grab Kincaid in one of our dynasty or keeper leagues there, so I am keeping my expectations in check and might be all hype, but we'll find out what happens.
Dave, I'm going to get an audio clip, and every time you mention your team and the player you own, it's going to be da-da-da-da.
Ding, ding, ding. I'm just getting started, buddy. Well, now that we have our feet wet, let's maybe talk about some other positions with some players that might make a leap in the old ADP.
You think we could maybe take a quick break here?
Would you like to go to
throw sponsors here?
Absolutely.
Our producers.
Do we have one? Do we have one yet? Because Johnson's shit stick filed for bankruptcy.
Producers on my ass here.
Ran out of sticks. We'll be back.
And welcome to Dynasty Buy Sell. You know, back in my day, we could get a running back, a moon pie, and a newsreel for only a nickel. All right.
And we're back, and we're here to talk about Dave's fantasy teams. At the quarterback, I drafted Jordan Love.
Ding, ding, ding.
So, but one guy I didn't draft and rarely have, since you guys asked, is Lamar Jackson. So we're going to talk about quarterbacks. Is he, and be honest, is he still a top five? That's what I want to know. In Dynasty, of course. Tyler, what do you think? Is he a top five or is he like a six?
For me, I think he's outside the top five for me, but he's definitely still in that second tier. I think he just has to be behind Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Burrow. I think I have a Justin Herbert ahead of him, and I think I'd probably take Trevor Lawrence ahead of him, but I think I'd still probably take him ahead of Justin Fields, but he's right in that range. Any one of those tier two guys, I'm very happy to have on my team. So I haven't really moved him down or anything. I do actually expect a good year. They have a new OC in town. They added Flowers. They have actually a pretty good offense. I expect a better passing offense there this season. So I think for fantasy, he could easily finish as a top five fantasy quarterback this year. And that would definitely keep him in that conversation for top five dynasty.
Justin Herbert. Isn't it funny that we're talking about him now? Remember when we were doing this little podcast a couple years ago? And I don't think anybody knew he was going to be this good. I'm really surprised to see him in a tier.
No, Dave, two. Everyone thought he was going to be this good except me. I didn't really
like
him.
Yeah, I liked him.
Was it just you?
I liked him, I think, yeah. We all miss him.
And I thought Jalen Reagor was going to be awesome. So we all fuck up.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if he'll ever be tier one, but he settled nicely into a tier two amongst the names of guys like Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, of course, and Lawrence and Fields. Jay, is Lamar Jackson's injuries, when it comes to quarterbacks that run the ball, there's always that worry that they'll pull something, and it's usually pretty serious. We've seen it end careers. Griffin III as being one that pops into mind.
Yeah, Washington really, really fucked that one up pretty bad, didn't they?
Yeah.
Poor bastard.
Yeah.
Honestly, Lamar Jackson is elite when he's healthy, but that's a pretty big fucking win. Like, there is no way to predict someone's health, but you can pretty much predict that Lamar Jackson is going to miss games most seasons. The big issue with him is he hasn't been a top 10 quarterback much in the last 3 years. QB10 in 2020, QB16 in 12 games in 2021, and QB14 in 2022 in another 12 games. Thing is, though, as far as fantasy points per game goes, he's a top 5 QB for the most part. So if he's healthy, which is, again, a big fucking if, he's a top 5, top 10 fantasy quarterback. Will he be healthy? Probably not. And I think that's the problem right now with Lamar Jackson. Now, they have a lot invested in him, and they're going to want to protect him. They've given him some better receivers to throw to, so hopefully he doesn't have to run the ball as often, because a quarterback that runs the ball eventually slows down. Their careers are short because they can't run anymore. Look at Cam Newton. Once that guy stopped being able to run and slow down, his career was over very quickly. Lamar Jackson is a better passer than we all thought he was coming out of college, especially most of the scouts. A lot of people in the fantasy community did like him, but he seemed to be, a lot of scouts didn't believe that he could pass, and he's a better passer than they thought he would be. Can he transition to a pocket passer? No, but can he be a pocket passer that runs when needed? Absolutely. And if he can stop himself from taking those unnecessary runs, just like Josh Allen, You know, Josh Allen's going to kill himself doing the same thing. He's just a bigger body, so he can handle it a little better.
Yeah.
But if he can do that, then yeah, absolutely. I love Lamar Jackson. I don't think he's going to stay healthy.
Do they run because they want to or because they have
I run because I'm scared.
Straight up.
Yes, you are. You do scare easy. But I think it might be like a habit. Like it's just like they're used to doing it. So even though they could probably pass the ball, their first instinct might be to run. And I don't know how much
it
that
works.
Can change.
If it works that well for you, right?
Become
it's,
creatures.
It's clearly working for them. So, but I think.
Yeah, as I question that. But does he have a good O line in Baltimore? Well, that's if those who don't know is quite important. Yeah. Is have a good old offensive line. Most underrated position.
Definitely the most underrated position. I don't actually really know where they would rank for this year coming in. I think they're pretty decent. But I would have to check in on
that. Check PFF for that info.
We'll cover. Yeah, we'll cover that offensive line. Eventually they will get some time on the show. Now, I am to finish off the quarterback category, I'm going to name off the tier threes if you don't have it right in front of you, and you're going to pick one guy that you would want to have, or either think they can hit tier two, or simply you just want this guy out of tier three to be your guy. It's Deshaun Watson, Anthony Richardson, the rapper, Kyler Murray, the injured guy, Dak Prescott, not getting any younger, he's 30, Bryce Young, who's young, but we don't know what to expect, and then we have Tua, who's obviously had some injury problems in the noggin. So, Tyler, I'll start with you. Do you think any of them is going to, one of those guys is going to go to tier two? And who's your
favorite?
I want to know. Okay. Who is it?
I mean, I do like Tua, personal. But I'm afraid if Miami doesn't take care of him, he's going to drown in a bowl of soup one day.
Good soup.
I just feel for the guy.
That's quite a deal.
You know, outside of that, Bryce Young, definitely like him. Dak, at 30. I don't know what's on that end. Kyler, we'll see. So it's definitely down to Deshaun Watson, Anthony Richardson for me. And if I was forced to pick one offhand, I'm going to go with Anthony Richardson. The fact that he's already, this is the Fantasy Pros kind of consensus ranking, but the fact that he's already considered a tier three, 10th overall QB, when he might not be that good, that's pretty big to be that high. But he could also be, if he has the type of year that some people expect, he could be in the top five next year easily. So Anthony Richardson for me.
Or not playing football.
Yeah, that's
or
right.
Not playing football.
Well, he'll probably be somewhere around the league till the rookie deal is done. But he could actually just not be that good. It's in the range of outcomes for him. I don't see that though. I'm a big fan of Anthony Richardson for football and definitely for fantasy. So that's my guy out of that group for sure.
Okay, interesting. I drafted him. Jay,
Patrick Mahomes for sure.
What?
Exactly. I don't dislike Richardson. No shade on that guy at all. I'm 50-50 on whether or not he's going to be whatever he thinks he is. And I feel like he's being potentially slightly overdrafted or he's being very underdrafted because he could be a game changer. So it's really hard to say. Like, this one is going to be like the eye test in the NFL is going to be the big thing. And I can't really talk any more than what Ty did on it. Deshaun Watson, for me, I think is the guy most likely to return to top 10 form. I hate Deshaun Watson. I do not want to see him succeed.
He's not a great guy. But.
No, I don't really want to see him succeed. But damn, the guy was a top five wide. Fuck, he was a quarterback. Every other position. Tight end. No.
Place kicker.
He was a top five quarterback for his first three seasons in the NFL. Cleveland's shaking things up a little bit. It could be, he could be the guy. Maybe he got his power from struggle massages, but I doubt it. young for me is a little too small, and he doesn't really add a lot with his legs. He mostly adds on his fingers, up to 10. Other than that, I think Stroud intrigues me a bit more, but I think top 10 is a huge surprise when it comes to the rookie guys. So I'm going to Deshaun Watson. Fuck me.
Yeah. Okay. Jay, whatever, buddy. Watson.
You know, I like the deep guys though. I think I want to talk a little bit about the deep targets here.
Well, that's my bonus question. Fine. Hang tight. I got to trust the host here. You know, I've never led us astray. I've always, that's not true at all. These are.
I thought you
guys
misplaced
the
page on you. You may have printed it off, and you misplaced the page again or something. Who knows?
Right here. I almost missed it actually. So, Jay, actually, we'll start with you this time. I'm going to name three guys. You're going to tell me who and why. Trey Lance, Hendon Hooker. The fuck is that? And Will Levis.
Levis.
I don't fucking know.
Well, he's given up his family's stake in the Levi's company to play football in America. No, I.
Well, you can see where
I'm in this game. You just picked my three deep picks. Trey Lance, talent is still there, hasn't played any football. He was taken from a place where he had no one to learn from to a place where he has a good quarterback ahead of him. I don't think there's a 0% chance he hits as a starting quarterback. But it's not much better than that. But he's not worth anything. Like you can pick him up for almost nothing at this point, and the intangibles are still there. Hendon Hooker, great arm strength, 6 seasons in the NCAA. 6. That's a lot.
Did he get held back? Is he fail math or what?
He's one of the oldest. One of the oldest QB picks though since Brandon Whedon.
Is he dumb as fuck?
Whedon like 27 or 28 or something like that. He was an MLB prospect, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Hey, I'm 45. I'm in school, so I can't be one to talk.
Hendon Hooker, I'm picking him up wherever I can. He can run, he can throw, and he only has Goff ahead of him. Will Levis, I own. These are three guys. So Dave gave me three guys that I own in every league, pretty much.
Is that so? Yeah,
one of the reasons I'm not stoked on Richardson is because I couldn't get a fucking share. But Will Levis, I have in a couple leagues. Immense potential. Gonna need time to figure it out. Great combo, size, arm, running ability. This year's Malik Willis, if you will. Hopefully he figures it out, though. First round talent, dropped alarming interceptions in college. Might have been something to do with that. But he's something like he's a lottery ticket. He could be special, or he's the Malik Willis. So if I'm going to pick one of them, Hendon Hooker for me.
Hendon Hooker. I thought I knew you were going to pick me. You're so predictable.
TJ Hooker. Garbage, you could have made a TJ Hooker there joke, Dave.
Could have, but I kind of did with Hawkinson. I don't want to get repetitive. Yeah. Ty, I'm going to force you to pick one of those three
guys.
Okay.
I like Hooker too. He seems like a nice guy, very good with his grandkids. I'm going to say Will Levis. So just based on raw talent, even though he's not, he doesn't even look like he's going to be the backup option this year with Malik Willis ahead of him, which is a bit alarming, but we all knew he would take some time. So Will Levis, I guess, is probably the guy that I think.
Now, do you have one specific guy that is not one of those three guys that's deep that you have a hankering for, that you have a sweet spot?
Not really, but I think there's guys in the same range, like Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell, Mac Jones, guys that are actually already starting. We've seen them not be very good, but they're actually already starting with teams, so like you can get them in a similar range. So like there's probably a decent bet for some of those guys. I guess Sam Howell's maybe the most interesting to me out of those fellas, but
yeah, those are
I love Howell. If I was to pick one of those guys, Howell I think would be the guy.
Yeah, I do like Howell.
But
yeah, he's down there, tier 5 behind in Dynasty and Fantasy Pros behind Carr, Purdy, and Rodgers.
I just don't think it's a deep pick though if the guy's already starting.
No, that's right.
That's
not,
you know. So like
I mean, he's the youngest in tier 5 though, is Howell.
Yeah, well, he didn't spend 6 years in the NCAA.
Most people don't though. There might be a reason.
Yeah,
I spent like 9 years in university. I feel like I'm being personally attacked here.
I think you're still paying.
And it wasn't. I'm not a doctor, guys. I'm not a doctor.
Well, the good thing is now, Jay, with the new law that's passed, you don't have to pay interest anymore.
So. Oh, I've already paid that off years ago.
Oh, okay. You shouldn't have waited. All right, let's get into a different position in running backs. If you've heard.
That's Dave sex tape.
I know what this means. I'm flipping over.
halfbacks, once known as. What if we can have an episode on fullbacks? And we can have like
Kyle Jusic. That'd be fun.
Check. The only guy. So I wanted this. Let's just mosey on over
the Polish
there.
Missile.
Talk about,
that's what I'll call him.
Well, the Polish. He is Polish. Eh?
Polish missile. Jusic.
Let me grab here. Okay. Now, Jacobs is signed. That's wonderful. He's considered a high tier 3, and you have a guy like Travis Etienne Jr. I'm a fan of him. Kenny Walker, I don't know. Austin Eckler, a little bit older, the oldest guy in a tier 3. And then we have the youngest guy, actually is Kenny Walker in tier 3. So before we get into the deep sleepers, let's maybe talk about tier 3. And out of these guys, Who do you think is going to have maybe an above average year and weasel their way into tier two, perhaps? Is it Najee Harris, Javonte Williams? I know, Jay, you're probably going to say Nick Chubb. You're so predictable. Is it Nick Chubb for you?
Wait, is Nick Chubb in that same tier?
He's in tier three.
27,
I guess,
yeah.
Fantasy Pros.
Fantasy Pros, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds surprising, yeah. Well, what are you
looking at right now?
Just the Fantasy Pros Dynasty rankings.
Oh! Dynasty? Okay, I see. Okay, never mind. I'm all a dumb.
Wait.
I'll cut that out. Don't worry. I don't look stupid on the internet.
Too late for that. So, who wants to start with this one? I don't want to put anybody in the spot. Obviously, Jay's fallen asleep at the wheel, but we have the tier three fellas, and who's going to make the jump to tier two? Or who do you think? I mean, we don't know, but I mean, tier two is pretty small. It's just Gibbs, Taylor, Barkley, and who would have thought Tony Pollard would ever be in a tier two?
Yeah, and I think he's definitely there. Just saying. He's going to have a good year.
100%.
Okay. I love Josh Jacobs. But it's not about me. It's not about my team.
I can spew off a couple of thoughts on each of these folks pretty quickly if you want.
Spew up. Yeah, go ahead.
Travis Etienne, I think there's some people that seem to be talking about his demise coming as he's not as good of a pass catcher as he thought. He's not a great red zone guy, and Tank Bigsby's going to take over. We'll talk a bit more about Tank Bigsby later because he's somebody that I'm definitely targeting, but not because I think he's taking over for Etienne. I just think he's going to find a role, and they could both be effective. As far as Jacobs, he's good. We'll see what the next contract looks like. Absolutely love Jacobs. Kenneth Walker, bit worried about him. He was only big play guy, was really, really inefficient, and then they drafted Charbonnet. So we'll have to see there.
Charbonnet.
Austin Eckler, he's starting to age out a bit. And a bit worried about his target share as well. Because last year, Keenan Allen or Mike Williams was out of the lineup. And when Allen and Williams were both out of the lineup, Eckler saw a 27% target share. When only Allen was out, it was a 22% target share. When it was only Williams out, it was a 20% target share. And then when they were both active, it was a 12% target share. They've added Quentin Johnson, so I know that they're still planning to use him just as much. They've kind of talked it up, and it's possible that they do, but it's also just as likely that an older running back ends up losing some targets, so we'll see there. And I guess the last person I want to, I don't think I'll have to go through each one of these guys. You don't need all my thoughts on that, but I'll say Javonte Williams. He's someone that I think the range of outcomes for him is definitely possible that he just continues to be injury prone. He doesn't come back that effective, and he drops way down. But he's also someone I could see as being a great value in Dynasty right now. He saw at least 19 touches in every full game he played last year. He outsnapped P. Ryan the first game. In his first game that he played since last October. They got Sean Payton in town now. Sean Payton always seems to have a top 20 fantasy RB. So I think that Javonte's got a pretty good chance to be a really good value where you're finding him there. I don't know if it means he'll necessarily jump up significantly, but at least return value at RB 14.
Yes, Javonte Williams. I do like him. Jason, before we get into some deep ones, is there anybody just that you want to touch on before we mention some more obscure names?
I think Ty covered most of it, but Josh Jacobs I still think is potentially closer to a tier two guy. I don't really see him as a tier three. Javonte Williams, I do really like. I see him, if he's healthy this season, I see him jumping up quite a bit and being a good return on investment. I'm not really a guy I don't really want to talk about the tier three guys as much. I'm more interested in the deep guys because these guys you already own, you know what they are. You know, Ramondre Stevenson, I'm surprised he's 25 when I'm looking at this list. But in New England this year, I think he's going to have a pretty good role. Tier four's got Dameon Pierce too. Guy that kind of came out of nowhere. He's jumped quite a few spots since coming to the league. I could see him going from a tier four to a tier three running back pretty easily than Houston.
Agreed.
Yeah,
really.
But I'm definitely more interested in some of the guys that are a little further down the list because everyone knows what they got in most of these other fellas. Kenneth Walker scares me the most. I think Ty kind of covered that.
Scary as in?
I don't think he's a return on investment at all. I think you're going to lose a bit on him. Same with maybe potentially Etienne as well. A lot of the news around him is negative. I still think he's a very talented running back, but I do love me a Tank Bigsby.
Tank Bigsby.
I like the Bigsby portion. The Tank part, whatever. You're either tiny or you're huge, but the Bigsby, that's a great name.
Bigsby.
It is. And sorry, remind me where he, where's his locker?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh, with Etienne. Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Ty, you sort of touched on that. And you think Bigsby might eat into Etienne perhaps a little bit? Is he a better receiver?
I don't know if he's better because Etienne, he didn't look great so far. It hasn't looked great so far in the NFL as a receiver. But we remember him in college. We talked a lot about him. We were doing a lot of rookie content in the year that we thought he was going to declare and then didn't. And then the next year when he did. And he looked like running back that should excel as a receiver. So we'll see. But Tank Bigsby does look like he's a pretty decent receiver in his own right. And definitely someone that could eat in at the goal line a bit. So, he can definitely eat into his role a bit.
Jason?
Yeah, David?
Talk to me about Sean Tucker. Who the fuck is Sean Tucker?
Oh, Dave, Sean Tucker. Come on, buddy. You don't know who Sean Tucker is?
Well, it's a pretty generic name. I'm sure I know a Sean Tucker somewhere.
Well, but not let me tell you about Sean Tucker. He's an athletic freak, Dave. Reportedly. This is reportedly. It's not a film, but he reportedly ran a 4.3 in high school. He was a track star, you know? Yeah, good size for an RB. 5'9", 5'10", 205 plus pounds. Very decisive runner. Knows where he's going and knows how he wants to get there. Waits for a hole, Dave, and he hits it hard.
That's my vice.
He's a little bit shorter, kind of thick boy. Got a bit of a low center of gravity. Has a good to great receiving work in college, too. Not a great pass protector, though. Will need some time to adjust to NFL. But his three-down upside is really hard to dismiss. If he would have got to the combine, he thinks, he would have been a day-two pick, no doubt. But he has a heart condition. That's the problem.
Oh, he has that heart. Guy.
It's just not great.
You talked about this
guy. I love him. Yeah. I've added him a couple leagues. He's got White ahead of him. Not my favorite running back. But
this is Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah. It's a great landing spot for him, especially now with Fournette gone. Rashad White is, he's okay. I love Sean Tucker.
Isn't Vaughn still there?
Don't worry about Vaughn.
He's the guy.
Don't worry about Keyshawn Vaughn, Dave. Just like we shouldn't have worried about him when we talked about him 3 years ago, 2 years ago. So I love Sean Tucker. He's a guy I'm adding everywhere I can. I just love him as an NFL running back. And if you pick him up, he's going to cost you nothing.
Practically free, yeah.
He's practically free. Yeah. And his path to being a starting NFL running back is Rashad White. So, Dave, who's Sean Tucker? Who's Sean Tucker? He's my next starting running back. That's
someone
who he
that
is.
Should be on your dynasty roster. That's who he is.
Absolutely.
Not quite redraft yet, but dynasty.
Oh, even in redraft, if I have a spot, there's one other guy that I'm kind of picking ahead of him, but he's a drafted player and another good path to potential workload. But even in redraft, I have him on my watch list and I am waiting to add him.
That's true. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. I mean, you got to have the fantasy app in your hand because a guy goes down and next thing you know, they're starting. And if you're starting at running back, you get points. That's just the way it goes, I believe.
I do want to kind of add one thing in here, actually. Absolutely.
Please.
No.
It's James Cook, isn't it?
Next, on Sean Tucker.
Okay.
100% agree. He's worth watching. It seems like he's actually, I think the team even announced that he's the second running back on the depth chart right now. However, this is from Alex Caruso on Twitter. So 502 running backs have been drafted in the fourth round or later, and that includes undrafted players since 2000, so the last 23 years. Seven out of the 502, 1.4%, have finished as top 24 running backs as a rookie. Three out of the 502, that's 0.06, have finished in the top 12 as a rookie. So for any running back drafted fourth round or later, especially undrafted free agents, it's not impossible, but historically, it's been a tough path to relevance as a rookie for fantasy.
Well, Ty, Sean Tucker and Jason do not care about your fancy stats. Not enough to hear with your stats. No, that's 100%. I can, that's Your argument
you can
is
use
solid.
Stats to prove anything. I mean, 14% of all people know that.
Absolutely.
But what about
was that a link? That was a Lincoln condition? Quote.
What was it? I thought that was Simpsons.
But,
no, either one. They both very right.
Usually one and the same. But what about this heart condition, though? That can't be good in sports.
Well, he's cleared to play. He's cleared to play, and that's all that really matters at this point. I can't disagree with that, but Dynasty's all about flyers and lottery tickets for me. So that's my lottery ticket this year.
All right, Ty, I want to hear, and I have a feeling I know who it is. I think you might even have the first name that you have, but maybe it's not that guy. Who's your deepest? I want you to go real deep.
Oh,
real deep.
Dave, I'm getting a little flustered.
Like Sean Tucker deep. Is it somebody? Just tell me. I'm not even going to guess. I don't want to be wrong. I'm going to embarrass myself.
So there's a couple guys, but Ty Chandler, we talked about him last week. Great first name. Yeah. Everybody loves a Ty.
Yeah.
And just the competition in front of him with Alexander Mattison. You know, we discussed this last week. I won't get too much into it, but right now I think he's like RB 70 something in dynasty rankings, at least according to Fantasy Pros. So, you know, hell yeah, I'll take advantage of that. Keonta Ingram, we talked about earlier. He's playing in Arizona. It's not a great spot. Mm-hmm. He's not a great athlete, but he's the number two right now.
That's a problem.
And James Conner in front of him, somebody that's definitely dealt with some injuries in his career. So he could be somebody that you could pick up, add to your roster, and end up actually starting for a couple of weeks at some point. So at, you know, running back 76 or whatever it is, you know, why the hell not?
Yeah. No charge. Cool.
If you don't call my name again, next I do. I'm going to be very angry. I have one other guy I want to talk about.
Okay, Jay has one more guy that he wants to speak upon.
I would like to hear who Dave has on his roster.
Oh. Well, ding, 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 ding. Well, none of these guys. I don't own any of these guys. So, you know what? I'm not going to tell you.
Can I tell you one person you potentially should have on your roster?
Yes. Go ahead.
Roshan Johnson.
Roshan Johnson. Like that meme where does he play?
Like, Long Johnson. But it's Roshan. He plays in Chicago, Dave.
Oh, the Bears. Yeah,
he's got Khalil Herbert and Deonta Foreman to contend with, I can contend with probably those guys, but I am delusional. So interesting guy though. He when he originally declared, he was a QB. He was behind Sam Ellinger at the University of Texas as a rookie, and he moved to running back. But that's not the worst person he was behind. He was once behind some guy named Bijan Robertson. Is he good, Ty? Is he Robinson. Good?
Oh yeah, he's good. He good.
Yeah. So he was the number two running back at University of Texas. Here's an interesting fact for you, Dave. In 2022, Justin Fields was sacked 55 times and 91 times in his first 2 years. The Bears love this guy and they want to protect him. You know who's the best pass blocker the Bears have at running back? Roshan Johnson.
Oh, and that gets you points.
It does.
It gets you on the field.
No, it gets you on the fucking field. Yeah. You can't get points if you're not in the field. And
that's factual.
And from Twitter, I'm refusing to call it X or whatever the fuck it's called. At Courtney R. Cronin wrote, the competition of the Bears starting RBG job will likely come down to pass protection. On 160 career pass block attempts in college, Roshan Johnson allowed only 8 pressures and 2 sacks. Pretty good, right? Pretty good. But let's talk about running the ball, because running backs run the ball. As per Fantasy Pros, 49% missed tackle rate in 2022, while also finishing 4th in yards after contact per attempt among the 2023 draft class. Simply put, he would be talked about much more had he not been seated on the depth chart behind college football's best running back, Bijan Robinson. He's 6 foot, 219 pounds. He's a big boy. And he did it with Bijan. He can do it with Herbert and Foreman, because they ain't Bijan.
Shut up and take my money.
That's correct. They are not.
Have I sold you a Sean Tucker share and a Roshan Johnson share? Because if not, if so, I'm accepting first round picks.
I mean, I was already buying Tucker, but Johnson, you got me thinking.
Johnson, eh? Well, I'll keep an eye, okay? That's the best you're going to get out of me, because I think you're full of shit.
Also, James Cook, good value. We don't need to go into it, but I think we missed him on here. I want to talk about him. Great value.
No. As a Bills fan, Ty, please tell me.
I tried. I brought him up, and you guys, I want to talk about Chai Chandler and Sean Tucker. Well, go ahead.
Well, now I want to talk about James Cook.
I'll give you 30, Ty, I'll give you 37 seconds on James
Cook. I'll
be
honest, all I wrote was, I want to talk about James Cook, but Dave skipped him. I was going to try and blame it on you, but just, no, he looks like he's the Bills. Well, he is. He's the Bills. He's going to be the number one option. He's not built for necessarily for three down type of work, but he should be a good pass catcher. He'll be another good option as a pass catcher in that offense behind guys like Diggs and, you know, Kincaid and Gabe Davis. It looks like it's going to be a really good offense that he's going to be a part of. So at RB, I don't know where he is. I don't know if you looked it up, but 25, I think, though. 26 on Fantasy Pros. He's 26. Got a really good chance to improve by, I could see improving by 10, being up to like RB 15, 16 next year if the season goes the way that I think it might for him. So good investment now if you can get him.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you're the number one guy, like, come on. I didn't really hear about this James Cook. He kind of came out of nowhere.
Hey, Ty, he was like, Dalvin Cook or James Cook? Who you want?
Easily James Cook.
Yep.
It's a question based on their
brothers
last
too.
Name.
Oh, they're brothers.
Oh, they're brothers.
Did you know James Cook's middle name is Dalvin and Dalvin's middle name is James?
Jay with the edit here. Yeah, that's 100% true. So another reason why we bring you some of the best, most groundbreaking fantasy content on the internet.
Straight up! Actually, wow. You're full of shit.
I don't remember. I think I heard that on the Fantasy Footballers, but I might be making that up.
Might be true.
Look it up. Could be true.
Yeah, it might be true.
His favorite chocolate bar is the Big Turk, though.
It is. Common sense, Jay. All right. Let's finish this off. We're going to get into wide receivers. We're just going to go through some tier three guys that might bump up to tier two, perhaps. You know, some guys that might end up being in the top 10, 12 this coming season. Let's start there, and then we'll maybe talk a little bit about Mike Evans specifically, because he is still negotiating a contract extension, if I'm not mistaken. Is that true?
He's given a deadline, I think, of the 9th or the 8th or something, just the start of the season, basically. At that point, he'll stop negotiation.
Okay, got you. Now, when we look at tier three guys, I mean, this is weird to say, Tyreek Hill. At the top of that, he's the big papa there. Devonta Smith, Stephon Diggs, Drake London, T. Higgins, G.J. Metcalf, Cooper Kupp, and JSN. Now, let's talk about Cooper Kupp just real brief. Not because I own him, okay? But I own him in a couple leagues. So he's quite injury prone. Do you think, what kind of year is he going to have? What kind of outlook? I think he's had some setbacks with his injuries. So, I'm hesitant to say that he's going to get back up to tier two form. I think he is 30. If anything, I think he might end up in tier four. What do you guys think? I think he might be going down.
I think it depends how long he's actually out. It's a second hamstring injury of this the summer, which isn't good. He went to go see a specialist in Minneapolis or something. So we'll see how that goes. See how quickly he can get back in the lineup. If he only misses a couple of weeks and he actually plays out the entire season, he'll be good. He could be the wide receiver one easily if he played all year healthy. I think he competes with Jefferson and Chase in that regard. Fantasy points per game, he's probably going to be up there if he's healthy. But
number one last year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, Jay, you have to, and some of the stats you pulled up, he's one guy that kind of sticks out where he has to be healthy.
Yeah.
Or he's just not there.
Well, all of them like technically have to be healthy.
Yeah.
But
he's like the Kittle.
Yeah, he averaged 22.4 fantasy points per game last year. Problem is he didn't play the entire season. He only finished with 201 points. Justin Jefferson, on the other hand, 21.7 over 369 points. Like that is,
and didn't miss a minute.
That is insane. Tyreek Hill again, the third best guy, Devonta Adams, Steph Diggs, Jamar Chase, the usual suspects. Health is important when it comes to total points for the year, obviously. But if you're banking on a guy as a, you know, again, I hate to misuse the term, but lottery ticket, Cooper Kupp, is he the guy? I'm less worried about his health and more worried about the Rams as a team this year.
Excuse me? Rams are going to be just fine. Okay, buddy. All right. Super Bowl contender this year.
They're going to be pretty bad. If he's healthy, I think there's no doubt that he's a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. He's, if he's healthy,
touchdown
probably
machine.
Top five.
Yeah,
but
he just gets, he's
not going to be healthy.
I don't know what I should do with him. Anyways, it's not for us to discuss here. No one cares about my
ding,
problems.
Ding, 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 ding.
I think the guy that sticks out for me here in this Tier 3 club is Drake London. Just the fact that he's 22, he's young. Yes, Ritter may not be the guy, but he's going to get like most of the targets. Do you think he has the potential once maybe he settles in and finds a better quarterback, or maybe Ritter? It could be good. I think we both said last week or last episode that we have high hopes for you, old Ritter.
Well, high hopes would be maybe a bit of an oversell. It's possible that Ritter could be good. It still seems unlikely, but it's definitely within the realm of possibility for him. But Drake London might just end up being, usable anyway. And I think the fact that he's that high up is just, it's the draft position, his prospect profile, and just how good of an athlete he is. He will eventually break out. At 22, he's got lots of time to do it. So I'm not too worried about how he even performs this year with Ritter. It'd be nice to see him take a step forward, and it is possible. But he's definitely one of those guys that could end up taking the leap up to the next class. But I think, somebody like JSN, Christian Watson, Jordan Addison, even like some of these other guys,
Jerry John Judy,
Dotson, I would say Judy's dealing with an injury now, but if he plays all year, I think he could end up taking a big jump well.
He was last year fantasy points per game. You can't really find him on the top. You can barely find him in the top 50 overall, but fantasy points per game, he was in the top 25.
With a pretty dysfunctional offense too, so.
But it's got Sean Payton.
No, it has to be better. And even Russell Wilson, he's got to be better this year than he was last year. He can't be that bad, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that remains to be seen. But Jerry Jeudy last year averaged 13.6 fantasy points per game. Put him around Christian Kirk, Amari Cooper, Mike Williams, Terry McLaurin. Those are some pretty good names. And last year was the Nathaniel Hackett experiment. I don't know, man. Jerry Jeudy's a guy I'm looking to buy.
Just throw something out here. You mentioned his name. Amari Cooper. He was one of the most hyped prospects that kind of let everybody down.
Exactly.
Has he not become the most disrespected fantasy receiver? He's so consistent. He's like a Tyler Lockett. They just always finish strong. They're going to give you about 15 fantasy points a game, depending on your scoring settings and all that shit. But nobody cares.
Yeah. He's 29, though. He's same age as Diggs and Tyreek Hill. But yeah, he's a little bit lower.
He's been in the league 18 years though.
Yeah, I remember I kind of gave up on him myself. I'm guilty of that in one of my you don't hear about that. But out of all the 29-year-olds, because we got a few of them, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, and sure, let's talk about Cooper. Which one do you want on your dynasty team? A guy that's hit 30. Those three guys. Tyreek, eh?
Yeah, I think he's being disrespected here and at the ninth overall wide receiver in full PPR. Yeah, I think that's absolute disrespect.
Like he's ahead of, he's behind Chris, how is it pronounced? Olave?
Chris Olave.
Love Olave. Olave, okay. Probably I would take Olave in Dynasty, I think, but Tyreek Hill's fantastic. Yep. If you have him in your top five for Dynasty, sure, why not?
The guys, all the guys ahead of him, the only reason they're ahead of him is because they're younger. Like AJ Brown's the only guy ahead of him that's over 25.
Yeah. You have like Wilson, Waddle, and Detroit's number one guy there, St. Brown.
Yeah, I'm on Ross St. Brown, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
I have another Detroit wide receiver that I think is going to be a huge climber this year, and he's definitely going at a discount right now.
Well, let's hear it.
I'm
on the edge of my seat
You want to actually know about him? Well, it's Jameson Williams. Yeah. You know it's Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams?
You know
Oh,
it.
Yes.
You
he's
know
suspended
it.
For six games.
Yeah.
So he might be a bit of a discount right now if people don't want to wait.
He's the guy, he runs real good, but he doesn't catch so good. So he's got 50% of the whole thing going there for him. But I do love the value. I think owners are losing patience, and I'm willing to risk it. I just made a trade, actually. I traded. So my team, instead of Dave's team this time, I traded Gabe Davis and Kendra Miller for John Mechie the third. And Jameson Williams. Now, Jameson Williams tore his ACL in the championship game, and he was still the fourth receiver drafted. So there is definitely some talent there.
And there's some teams that are willing. Well, there's a team, the Lions, willing.
It's the Lions, though.
Willing to spend that.
They draft real well
on a guy that had just tore his ACL.
Look at their history, though. With Lions, they're like the San Francisco 49ers.
Pretty good for their draft, though.
They've hit pretty hard, man. Okay. They've hit pretty hard.
All right, you'll get defensive.
I mean, T.J. Hockenson, Dave. Come on,
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
yeah, Hockenson. Now, and then
people will talk about Amon-Ra and Williams. Can they both exist? Well, they both complement each other. Completely different parts of the field. Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to play.
One's on the right. Well,
okay. No, one's playing more short yardage, multiple catches. One's kind of a deep ball threat and more of a gadget guy. Now, will they tear it up under Jared Goff? Maybe. But I'm more looking for the Hendon Hooker to Amon-Ra to Jameson Williams. That's my thing. Also,
I can see him taking Goff's job. I can see that happening. Hooker taking Goff's job.
Exactly.
Goff is garbage.
And Metchie the Third, if anyone's wondering, he was recipient of the John Cornish Trophy twice.
That's great.
And if you're wondering what the John Cornish Trophy is, best Canadian wide receiver in the NCAA. And he won that twice. Nathan Rourke was the only two-time winner. Before John Metchie III. But no, he was a great player in the NCAA. He actually just beat cancer. He had leukemia, and he's in Houston, which is where wide receivers go to die.
Yeah.
Now.
It's a shame.
So he's beat cancer. Can he beat the Houston offense?
That's a tougher battle,
I think that's actually tougher. Yeah,
I like it. I like it just because I like the lottery ticket. I'm a big fan of, trading the guys that, may have a little more value for the guys that have very little value, but might turn out to be a home run. So maybe I got one home run of these two guys, but maybe I got nothing, and I just gave away players that I already had value for. So whatever.
I want to talk about, about 30 minutes on Richie James. Okay. Just kidding. I want to talk about briefly Calvin Ridley. Ridley's, believe it or not, WR16 and PPR ADP. Is that right? I'm not reading that right. There's no way he's
WR16. I think that's redraft, right?
Yeah, it must be redraft. Let's scroll down and see where we can find him in Dynasty. 31. Yeah, sorry, 31. It's actually also written on this page that I printed off. I just didn't trust Tyler. Sorry, buddy. I love this guy. I think he had some issues. Some personal issues.
With gambling?
Calvin Ridley. Was it gambling?
Too many Keno tickets.
Mental health. Mental health and gambling.
Okay, that's a... usually go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. He is 28, so there might be a little fuel left in the old tank there. Do you think he goes from a tier 5 and maybe squeezes into a tier 4 to join the likes of Jordan Addison, Chris Godwin, Ayuk, and Jerry Jeudy? He's on the Chargers.
Yeah,
sorry, he's on Jacksonville. Sorry, that's a J, not an L. Whoopsie. Jacksonville, is it Trevor Lawrence at the helm?
For me, honestly, I think with Calvin Ridley, there's definitely a lot of different possible outcomes with him this season, and enough that in Dynasty, unless I already had him on one of my rosters, I'm probably not going to bother trying to make a trade offer for him. But in redraft, I'd probably try a bit. Best ball, I took him in a lot of leagues in best ball because I think there is a possibility he has a great year. He's definitely he's the most talented receiver on that team. And I think a bet in Calvin Ridley, it's a bet on Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence looked a lot better last year, and he's continued to look better in each of his, his rookie season was a bit of a disaster, but the Urban Meyer thing looked quite good last year. I think if you believe in Trevor Lawrence, Calvin Ridley could end up being a really good piece there. So if I already own him on my Dynasty roster, I'm very happy with that landing spot, and I'm kind of starting to believe a bit of the hype. But otherwise, for me, he's more of a guy that's more comfortable with in best ball. But if you're taking the approach to your Dynasty roster, like Jay was talking about a minute ago with Williams, where you're looking for these lottery tickets, you're not looking for a safe bet
or value.
Yeah,
or
like just a potential
value,
league winner.
You know,
then maybe I don't know. In redraft at wide receiver 16, is that great value? Probably not. But if he's in the 30s, if you have an owner in one of your leagues that had him on their roster for the last couple of years, didn't get to use him, just kind of wants to get out, and you can get decent value, a decent return on him, then absolutely, hell yeah, go for it.
Tier 9. Give me a second to look at that. Oh,
Dave. Yeah, this is.
I got mine already.
Here, so, yeah, I'm ready. No,
go I'm for joking. It, Ty.
Not Richie James.
Can I'll go then. It's Bobby Woods for this year. Oh yeah. I've been sneakily picking up some Bobby Woods shares. I just think he's an accomplished receiver. He's the only 1,000-yard guy in Houston. They got a young quarterback. He's gonna throw to the guy he knows can catch the ball. Robert Woods is a good receiver. He's old. He's 31, but he's a good receiver. Will he return value on a tier 9, 98th overall wide receiver? Yes, he will, 100%. If you're starting him week over week, do you have a team that's going to win? No. But can he fill in for your bye weeks? 100%. Robert Woods is about as safe as you can get in tier 9, I think.
All right, Ty, I'm going to let you finish this off. And because I like you and I don't like Jay, when we're looking at tier 9, I'll let you dabble into either tier 10 or tier 8 if it's somebody like on the close to 9. So not like top 8, but towards the bottom of 8 and the top of 10, just to expand it if there's somebody there that you like as a deep sleeper.
Well, I'm tempted to go into tier 10 because I do see Venus Jones Jr. and it reminds me of the wrestler Val Venus, and I like that. but yes, I think wide receiver 94, Van Jefferson, it just makes sense to add him here. And not just because of the Cooper Kupp injury.
Because he's a Ram. Obviously. It's because he's an LA Ram. Exactly.
Well, yeah, indeed. He's a Ram. Exactly. And with the Kupp injury, obviously, there's probably a couple of weeks of viability there where he could be the wide receiver 1. But then you also just have to think about that. He's the wide receiver 1 if Cooper Kupp goes down. That is not a deep group. You're looking at the competition there. Cooper Kupp's one of the best receivers in the NFL. Behind him, you have, Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell. They drafted Opuka, some people like, sure.
Yeah. He was on my list originally.
Yeah, I do like him as well, but probably not in a year one sort of thing. So wide receiver 90-something with Van Jefferson, even if you just get a few weeks of viability out of him this year and a few next year, that's worth a spot on a large dynasty roster. And you're probably actually going to get some starting numbers out of him if Cooper Kupp's out to start the year.
Yeah.
That's a wide receiver 90-something that I like.
94, yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Van Jefferson gets... I kind of liked him. He had some flashes in the pan there. He had some couple good weeks there when he did sub in. So I think it's if you can get him next to nothing, why the heck not? Now, if I was to choose one, I tell you who it's not going to be. Robbie Chosen. He's basically done. All right, fellas.
Who would yours be, Dave?
Well, I kind of like Van Jefferson as well.
How convenient.
Yeah, well, he's a Ram, but Justin Shorter. I'm going near the bottom of number 10. He's on your Buffalo Bills. So I just got a feeling. And it's not because I drafted him.
Did you really? Why?
yeah, he's at 142 ranked, but don't be surprised if you find him ranked at 136. Just saying, he's gonna move you up a few spots. But still,
I thought you were gonna go Puka Nakua because he's a Ram.
Like, don't be surprised if Justin Shorter is the person that sells you your next used vehicle.
All right, fellas, that rounds out this week's installment of It's a Dynasty Football Life, and a wonderful life it is. I want to say good luck to everyone this year in their respective leagues, as this will be our last episode probably being aired before the season starts. And mark my words, Lions beat the Chiefs this Thursday. Look out.
That's bold.
He is bold, buddy. Josh Reynolds.
Oh, Lord.
Josh Reynolds.
The handsome.
This is the Dynasty Football Life Podcast.